Hello, everybody. I'm Bart B. Nice to be here.
Hey, Bart.
Thanks for having me. So, I have a complicated story as far as 12 steps goes because I started going to AA meetings here and there many years ago when I thought maybe I was an alcoholic, but I was talked out of it by myself and my friends saying stuff like, you know, okay, you overdrink sometimes, we all do that, but you're not an alcoholic. So I'd go to a meeting, maybe two or three over a few weeks, and then decide that that wasn't for me because I never got a DUI and never, you know, a lot of stuff never happened that happened to other people that I heard share in the meeting. So I guess I thought, I thought that I wasn't that bad, and just because I overdrank sometimes, it was no big deal. And so I had all the support from my friends, with my denial. So then fast forward, my son got heavily into alcohol and pot and weed. And so what happened there is my wife and I went to a lot of counseling around that. And then finally we heard about Al-Anon. The first meeting we went to in Al-Anon was in Benicia. It was like three or four people. It was a dark room. And long story short, on the way to the car in the parking lot, my wife and I just looked at each other and said, oh, I guess the Al-Anon isn't for us. And so we didn't hear them say, check out other meetings, or, they either didn't say it or we didn't hear it. So anyway, 5 years later, we went back to another Al-Anon meeting. That was like the opposite situation. It was 50 people instead of four or so, and well-lit room over in Walnut Creek. And it was a really incredible feeling because I just felt so much support from everybody there. And I started sharing, and I just started crying like a baby. And I'm sure what happened was I'd been stuffing my feelings down for so long that it just all came out. It seemed like it all came out, those feelings. Years and years of just stuffing my feelings down around my son's addiction issues. And the first, 15 seconds or so, I felt embarrassed because I was crying in front of 50 strangers. But then I realized that, wow, actually I feel actually pretty light right now. I feel like, you know, 1,000 pounds has been taken off my back. And so it was pretty powerful. So I knew that that was a group of people and a program that I wanted to keep going back to. And so my wife and I went there almost, pretty much every week for many years. So then fast forward, my youngest son got heavily into the really potent high THC marijuana and got addicted to it. And he started having cannabis-induced psychosis. And it's a very long story, but unfortunately it got to the point where it got so bad that he decided to take his life. And so he died by suicide in 2018. So when that happened, I started doing a bunch of research on what the hell happened to my son. And I thought it was just weed. I thought weed couldn't do that to anybody. So the more research I did, the more I found out that the stuff I smoked in the 1970s was about 3% THC. That's the part that gets you high and intoxicated. And my son was doing probably an average of 50 to 60% THC. And when I was researching it, there were people like vaping, just like today, up to close to 100%, and some of it's even 100% THC. So it's like a different drug. It's like a hard drug now for most young people. And so I was doing my research to find out more about it, and I found this program called Maranon on the internet. It's the marijuana equivalent to Al-Anon. I emailed them. I said, "Where are the meetings?" And it was October of 2020. And one person emailed me back. She said, "There's no meetings. It's COVID." And so I said, "Can I start Zoom meetings?" Because the script was on, the wording and all that was on the website if you wanted to run your own meeting. And she said, "Yeah, go ahead. That'd be great." So I started these Zoom meetings, and it went from about 150 members nationwide. We had a few members in different countries, but mostly in the United States. About 150 members, and now we have over 900 members. We have 10 meetings a week. We have an in-person meeting at a Alano Club down in Southern California, and it's just has exploded. We started after I started these meetings, about 3 or 4 weeks after, I got one person to say they wanted to help me, and actually I found out that only one person was keeping the website going, and she was hoping, her name is Brooke, and she was hoping that someone would come along and help her. And so she did have a small group of women that started start Marinon, but then they fizzled off, and she was the only one for I think a couple of years keeping the website going. So anyway, but again, just because I started it, the Marinon means, you know, of course, this whole thing is, you know, these all these 12-step programs, someone can maybe start doing something, but then it'll fizzle out unless other people join up. So pretty much right away, I got all this help. We started a nonprofit organization, and now we have almost 2,000 members. And so then but before that, gave me, I think, the confidence to at least try to start these Marinon Zoom meetings was AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. So what happened is I was self-medicating after my son died by suicide, and self-medicating more than usual, and binge drinking. And so I came home drunk, I was late for dinner, and my wife confronted me, and I felt, you know, really bad about it. And I decided, you know, that's it, I can't do this anymore. So I decided to start going to AA. And so I was given this book by somebody that I reached out to, you know, the big book, and started going to AA, and that actually gave me the confidence to then, when I found out about Marinon, to start the Marinon meetings. And so here it's the doctor's opinion. I want to read a little bit about that. It says, "I specialized in the treatment of alcoholism for many years. In late 1934, I attended a patient who, though he had been a competent businessman of good earning capacity, was an alcoholic of a type I had come to regard as hopeless." And he kind of goes on and talks about how he was so impressed, this doctor, on what, you know, the founders of AA were able to do by helping someone, you know, spiritually and emotionally, I'd say. I'm paraphrasing, but instead of just working on the physical part of it, working on the, you know, spiritual and emotional part of it. And so that really spoke to me, because I try to find the facts about stuff. And I know that it's worked for, you know, millions of other people ever since. The other thing is, with Life with Hope, this is Marijuana Anonymous. So it was interesting, in this room, in fact, at noon one day, I said, "You know, I want to go ahead and try to start a meeting here with a Marinon meeting in person." Well, it was noon, it was like a Wednesday, and two people came. And I thought, all right, we're going to start this in-person Marinon meeting. Well, they were more interested in starting a Marijuana Anonymous meeting. And so I said, well, maybe I can help you do that. So we started together, working together, a Marijuana Anonymous meeting, and it's every Tuesday in the other room at 6 o'clock, and then there's a Friday meeting, I believe, at 7 o'clock, that's just started on Fridays. So Marijuana Anonymous, and this is the book that we use, Life with Hope. So yeah, that's why I say it's kind of complicated, because I'm in I mean, four different 12-step programs. So I want to find a fifth program to get unaddicted to 12-step programs.
Yeah.
So if you know of one, please let me know. So anyway, I take what I like and I leave the rest from all the programs. Not to say that if it's uncomfortable, I just, don't look at it or don't consider it. But if I try something that's in one of these four programs and it just doesn't work for me, I usually put it on the shelf and then try other stuff, or at least talk to somebody, and see if I can get. Again, I don't think 100% of all these different things in these four different programs works for me, but that's okay. So like I said, I take what I like and I leave the rest. Now this book here, Life with Hope, says a return to living through the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Marijuana Anonymous. So let's see, there's a doctor's opinion here, and he's been with the Hazelton Betty Ford Foundation, or he was. Says, I hope that this brief writing may provide those who are seeking help a general understanding of the disease of addiction and some specific aspects of marijuana addiction. Many people say that marijuana is not addicting, but this is simply not accurate. People do become addicted to marijuana, just as they do to alcohol, opioids, and stimulants. Marijuana addiction differs from these other types of addictions primarily by the outward or social manifestations, but internally, the same pain and anguish exist. And I was addicted to marijuana, actively addicted, in the 1970s, again, when I was weak. And I know through my research that there's millions of people who are addicted to it, especially teens and young adults. And I think because of the, again, really high potency, the cannabis that's out there these days. And so it's, of course, different. I know some people, a few people have died from something called cannabinoid hyperemesis syndrome, which is a condition where you can continually vomit and you can't stop vomiting, and you end up a lot of times in the emergency room. So some people have died from kidney failure from that. So that's the only way I've heard that some people have died from using too much cannabis. And if you know of anybody, or any, if you talk to someone and they have like a relative or a daughter or a son that, that uses marijuana or cannabis and is having problems like that, you may just want to mention CHS, and you can always contact me. I'll give you my number. And so there's over 26,000 members of a support group on Facebook. It's called the CHS Recovery Private Facebook Group. And so that's one condition, really major condition you can get by doing too much cannabis. The other one is there's a lot of suicidality from people who are doing too much, especially, again, if your brain is still developing, you're a teen or a young adult, it really messes up, the THC can really mess up your brain, the prefrontal cortex. And so that's where people can become suicidal. And I know, unfortunately, I know of over 100 stories, and I've spoken to probably about 20 or 30 different people, or traded emails with people that, usually it's their sons, unfortunately, or a young adult who's taken their life. And they check their blood, and it's high levels of THC, no other drug in their system. So the psychosis just gets too much for them, and they just want the pain to stop. So in general, that's what happens. So I've learned a lot about alcohol, THC, and the marijuana. I've learned a lot about the four programs I'm in. One of the main things that helps me is doing service. I run two meetings on Zoom, and the Zoom meetings really help me too, in addition to in person. I'd rather go to in-person meetings. I go usually to the Thursday noon meeting here, AA. I go to the Marijuana Anonymous meeting on Tuesdays. And so all this stuff really helps me. And I kind of look at it like, if I don't keep going, then I'm going to go back to my default behavior, which is my alcoholic, addictive personality type stuff. And just like if I stop going to the gym and stop working out, I'm gonna get weaker and weaker. And I feel the same thing with this program. I have to continue to go, otherwise, if I don't use it or work it, I'm gonna lose it. So the other thing I've found that the more I give it away, the stronger I get, and the more I get. So I took a phone call, a 12-step phone call before coming here today, and so I think for me, I just have to keep trying to help people. And I say try because I don't know exactly what helps them. I just try to share my experience, strength, and hope, and hopefully something helps them, something gets through to them. Mm-hmm. Let's see, what the other thing is, so my wife and I, we have a small little condo in Maui, and I had to do some business over there, so I flew there by myself, and so when I landed, I was all by myself. This was in March of this year. I thought, oh, I can drink and no one's gonna know. And anyway, after about 10 seconds or so, I thought, how stupid, I'll know, of course I'll know if I'm doing it. And even if no one else knows, my wife doesn't find out, whatever. And then I said to myself, I have to make sure I go to meetings, So I went to a bunch of meetings in person, bunch of meetings on Zoom, and I didn't drink. So that's, thank God for AA. Let's see, what else? What were some other experiences? After I joined Al-Anon, my wife were in Al-Anon for quite a few years, we took this, we did the last 80 miles of a walk called the Camino. It's in northern Spain. It's like a spiritual walk. People have been doing it for hundreds of years. And the first morning, because we were having real difficulties with our sons, with their addictions. Again, their drug of choice was cannabis. First morning, I said, okay, higher power, help me out here, please. Send me a sign. I need help. And I got nothing. About 10 miles a day. And the second morning, same thing. And I go, okay, I came all the way to Spain, and I'm doing this walk, spent all this money, like almost like throw me a bone, please. Got nothing. The third morning, I did the same thing. I was expecting something. I really was expecting something. And I didn't hear anything or get any sign. And then I told myself, I'm not going to hear anything. And just accept it. I'm not going to hear anything. And right after I said that to myself, I heard step away. And so I looked around to see who said it, and there was no one around me. My wife was either ahead of me or behind me. And my Al-Anon sponsor was with his wife somewhere. And so then I realized that I believe came from my higher power. And so it was pretty incredible how the instant I let go, and I guess let God, is when I heard that. So, I let go of all expectations. That's when I heard what I needed to hear. So step away, what that told me was that I can't fix my kids. And we say in Al-Anon and Maranon, we didn't cause it. We didn't cause their addiction. We can't cure their addiction, and we can't control their addiction. But we can contribute either negatively or positively. And the way I contributed negatively was by doing my own addictive behavior and all that. And I know I contributed in a negative way by enabling and being codependent with them. So when I heard step away, I also thought of another saying that we have in Al-Anon and Maranon. It's detached with love. I can still love them just as much, have unconditional love for them, but I don't have to be connected to them at the hip. One of the readings in one of the Al-Anon books talks about, the husband's drunk, comes home, and passes out on the floor, and the wife, it's time for her to go to bed, and she puts a blanket over him. She doesn't try to get him up off the floor, get him into bed, blah, blah, blah. She just puts a blanket over him. So instead of detaching without love or with anger and just leaving them there and all that. You know, she does a little bit of, you know, the kind of whatever, make them feel better or a little warmer or whatever, but she doesn't, I don't believe she goes on to the point where she's being an enabling or being codependent. The other thing we talk about is put your own oxygen mask on first, just like on the airplane. So growing up, I learned to be codependent and all that, and a lot of times try to help others always before helping myself. I know in AA we talk about doing that a lot. However, as a codependent, I was overdoing it, and so I wasn't taking care of my own needs. And just like on the airplane, if you don't take care of yourself first, at least to some degree, and you don't put the oxygen mask on first, you're not gonna be able to help anybody else. So that's another thing that I had to learn, you know, self-care and that type of stuff. Another thing in AA, in Al-Anon and in Maranon, there's the three A's: awareness, acceptance, and action. And first thing for me, I had to become aware that I had all these defects of character. I was a codependent, I enabled people, you know, especially my kids and my wife. I was alcoholic, you know, addictive personality. So I had to become aware of all that, which is hard to come to terms with. And then I had to accept it and try not to be in denial about it. You know, it is what it is, it was what it was. And then take action. And for me, one of the best ways to take action is to go to meetings, work the steps, work with a sponsor, and also sponsor other people. And that way I can take action in, you know, in a positive way to, you know, be able to live a better, healthier life and have a lot more serenity. And, you know, just, you know, I think, which I've really shared this many times in other meetings, if someone had told me 20 years ago, if your son dies by suicide and your other son, you know, doesn't want to ever talk to you again because he blames you, and if that happened, you could you have a, you know, pretty decent life and have a fulfilling life and all that? And if they said that, if they asked me that question, I'd say, of course not. You know, what are you smoking? I mean, of course not. But it's because of these programs, working on trying to help others and stuff like that, giving it away. Because of all that, I have a good life and I have a lot of serenity. You know, I have my challenges and all that kind of stuff. But overall, I'm really quite you know, fulfilled and satisfied with my life. Let's see. The other thing is, gosh, about 6 months ago, we got an email from a 39-year-old lady who we knew since she was 1 year old, and she had a really tough childhood. Ended up getting very involved in the church and going down on a mission to Mexico, to Baja, meeting a minister down there, and she ended up getting married to him when she was 21, I think. And she ended up having a bunch of kids. Well, then she had some kind of condition and she's pregnant again at 39. And so she emailed us and she asked my wife and I if she could live with us for 3 months. Our house is not real small, but it's not that big either. And we thought it was a God shot because, you know, again, our one son is, who is the surviving son, we have no relationship with him, and our other son's passed away. We kind of felt like this was, you know, a way to do service and a God shot for us. And so we said yes. So she moved in with her 16-year-old daughter. And there's no way, if I hadn't been in these programs, that it would have gone very well. And not that, I think I would have been, again, overly codependent. I probably would have enabled her and I would have resented it. And I think I would have been pretty judgy. You had a lot of judgments, I think. Like, you know, why is she having all these kids? And why, you know, she's not being responsible and blah, blah, blah. Well, again, I really credit the programs I'm in, these 12-step programs, because on top of all that, then she had to have an extra little surgery, so she had to stay for another 5 weeks. And this morning, actually, she just left with her baby, really cute, awesome, healthy baby, and her 16-year-old daughter. They left this morning. And I, you know, definitely, you know, have still some feelings like, oh gosh, you know, I don't understand why she's having so many kids, but that's not my business. You know, she asked for help and we helped her, and she's a very loving person, and I love her. I love her daughter and her family. And I know that, again, without the programs that I'm in, I would have been, you know, just so, you know, filled with being judgmental and all that. So I'm not saying, judgmental at all, but I'm a lot less judgy than I would be otherwise. And when I do go there, and I start being judgmental with anybody, I try to pause, you know, think about, you know, is that my stinking thinking from before with before I started these programs? Is that, you know, loving and healthy? And if it isn't, I work on that. You know, I call my sponsor or go to a meeting, and I think about, you know, what if I had grown up the way she grew up with a bunch of tragedy, and I fell in love with somebody, and you know, they wanted to have a lot of kids, and you know, I wasn't that crazy about it, but whatever. You know, how would I feel? So, you know, I'm really glad we were able to help out. And like I said, it's a beautiful, healthy baby boy, and we get a lot of joy from having the baby in the house too. So that was it was a really good experience overall. The other thing is, I heard in a meeting, actually in Maui when I was there, I think after I shared what happened with me about thinking about drinking, because no one's going to know, I can get away with it, somebody got up and he shared that his sponsor said, you know, your first thought, you're not responsible for it because it's your alcoholic thought, but you are responsible for your second thought and your thoughts after that and your actions. And I don't know if I'd go as far as that I'm not responsible for my first thought, but I do agree with the basic point that, you know, just because I have some thought that comes in my head doesn't mean I need to act on it, number one. And I've learned that, you know, I need to, you know, listen to it. If it's not healthy, try to figure out what the healthy alternative is and do the right thing, do the next right thing, you know, like we learn in these programs. The other thing is, I know one of the meetings I heard someone say that their son ended up, he was a heroin addict, ended up in Folsom Prison because he robbed two banks at gunpoint in two different states. And he was at the back of the TV room in Folsom Prison, and he was like 28, I think. And he saw these like 60-year-olds about to get into a fight because one of them wanted to watch Mickey Mouse cartoon channel or whatever, and the other one wanted to watch a Donald Duck cartoon. And they're about to fight over which cartoon to watch. And he's seen this at the back of the room, and he's like, that's gonna be me if I don't get my shit together. And so what happened is the person who was sharing said that he went to every meeting after that, every AA meeting in prison, did all this self-improvement stuff he could, et cetera, et cetera. And he got out like a year later on early release and stayed with the AA program and ended up an NA and has ended up you know, just doing really well. So I never had anything that extreme. For me, it was almost like the saying where if a frog is slowly cooked in a pot, little by little, the water gets hotter and hotter. They don't really realize, and that's kind of, you know, that's what happened to me. So, you know, I can't go back and change, my recovery program or anything, but I think that's basically what happened to me. It's like, oh, I never got a DUI, I never ended up in jail, you know, yeah, okay, I was at the edge a lot, but I always came back. And For me, I just had to keep learning the hard way that no, you know, the rules apply to me just as much as they apply to anybody else. But I also felt that I was either a legend in my own mind or a total scumbag. It was like there was nothing in between. So that all or nothing thinking, again, part of my stinking thinking, my alcoholic thinking. Trying to think what else I can share. I think that's about it. If you, again, want my number, just ask me for it, because a lot of times, especially today, so many people, at least with the weed, say it's just weed, it's no big deal and all that. And so a lot of young people are doing it because it's, even the parents are thinking, oh no, it's just weed, it's not a big deal. And so because of that, if you know of anyone who either could use it, like even a young person's Marijuana Anonymous meeting, or you know, someone who has a loved one, a kid or a husband or whatever, who's just doing too much of it, let me know and I can hook you up to one of these programs. So thanks for having me.
Thank you, Bart. Yeah.
Thanks, Bob. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah, thanks a lot for the card.
Oh, you bet. Thank you for doing this for
us. Oh, yeah, my pleasure. There you go. No, I